Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
Hello and welcome once again to Falkirk Daft. And Stirling is navy blue. The Bairns went to the city yesterday and walked away with a 2-1 win. Scrappy, but we got there in the end. We'll talk about the game and all that comes with it a bit later in the show. I am your host, John McInally, and as ever, joined by the Ginger God of Bod, the one-man band in the main stand, the prawn sandwich eating, loving, Ross Wayne.
Good evening, sir. It is a good Sunday. It's been a good Sunday. I'm a wee bit rough, a wee bit tired, but we're here.
Obviously, louding it up as per on in hospitality yesterday, Roscoe. I saw you from a distance, giving you the old Vickies. It wasn't returned. Probably some that Fanny in the Blue, which I had. Do you hear the chant for the Fanny in the Blue for the Stirling Albion?
No, who's that?
Oh, it was a guy who was wearing blue in the Stirling Albion and giving it the big Aldi, and then the chant of who's the Fanny in the Blue started up. But I gave the finger over to the main stand towards your good self, and there was a couple of Stirling Albion supporters threw it back at me, so that was great. So the away day, my own journey, I went to the station in Larbert, met big Brian Flynn from behind the wall, had a bit of chat with him. Paul, who listens to the podcast well, Paul Defoy was in there. It was a couple of folk in the station, a lot of Bairns, just jumping on the train. I cut it really, really fine, got in the quarter past through the train at Larbert, into the ground, we're just basically in for kickoff, but that North Terrison was absolutely rammed, was able to get a spot.
Absolutely bouncing from, and you could see it felt, unlike at Falkirk Stadium, the hospitality suites are they have their blinds open. It's a pet peeve of mine at the Falkirk Stadium.
I know, I won't get you started on that.
But the blinds were fully open, so you could see the Falkirk sections filling up really early, and the terrace got very busy from like 2:05 onwards. So you knew it was going to be a big crowd in there. Brilliant. And I did. It looked fantastic. Not just at the goal, but throughout the game. I did miss. That would have been good to be on the terrace yesterday.
It was a wee bit quiet. In fairness, I don't know. Obviously, I wasn't in my usual place with the ultras, being the king of the ultras myself, Ross. But I thought it was a wee bit quieter yesterday, actually. Certainly.
The first half, weirdly, was quite quiet. But then it cranked up as the...
Yeah.
Towards the end of the game. But it was maybe a little bit quieter. Certainly, see the lack of a roof probably doesn't help with the noise.
There's a bit of that kind of gets lost a wee bit. But no, I think the attendance was well over 2,000, wasn't it?
Nearly 2,500, yeah. We spoke to someone from Stirling after the game. They said there was just over 1,600 Bairns fans between the two sections, which is great. I think there was a handful of tickets left for the stand.
That would have been our biggest away crowd of the season, wouldn't it?
I would think so. Yeah. I don't think we've had anything.
It's a cracking game. I mean, you've got to say, as far as away days go, it's ideal, isn't it? When you're only 10 minutes in the train from Falkirk, you're into Stirling, a lot of good boozers in Stirling. And then, it's a 15-20 minute walk to the ground, but it's no bad.
No, it's not too bad.
Do you know what, in fairness to Stirling, apart from it's got no covering over the Terrace, and God knows what would have been like if we had had rain yesterday. But it's a decent wee ground, fourth bank, quite enjoy it there, actually. Nice wee stands, and a decent place to watch football. I actually thought the pitch looked quite small.
I didn't think about the pitch too much. It could well have been from your angle behind the goals. It looked okay from the side. I agree. I like fourth bank. They did a cracking day for the hospitality yesterday. There was a lot of Burns fans actually in hospitality.
Right.
I don't know how many, but there was
good banter, nice banter with the Stirling supporters and stuff like that.
Aye, there was no issue. Although when Stirling equalised, the guy behind me, because obviously I had stood up along with everybody else when the first goal went in, and so the guy behind me when they scored, he sort of ruffled my head and kind of poked me in the back, and I thought, just you wait, sir.
And obviously you weren't wearing the Stone Island or the Balaclava yesterday, Roscoe, so your face was well kept.
No, I didn't have any Stone Island. But no, we're seated in boots. It was really good. However, I do have a tale to tell. Before we even get on to the hospitality at Fourth Bank, which was brilliant, by the way, I am at least here to tell the tale because...
Right. Oh, whoa.
So there was eight of us in our group yesterday, and we decided to go to Elliot's as we normally do for a beer or two before the taxi. And I'm glad we had some alcohol because it was like the worst taxi ride in the world. And it was only, what's like 15 minutes to Stirling in it, so you think it should be incident-free, but it wasn't. We could have died four or five times in this short taxi ride from Falkirk. Honestly, it was like it was on the other side of the road at one point. It was nearly hitting traffic coming in, and then the Fourth Bank roundabout, you know, the big one,
aye.
To turn in. I think he thought he was going straight on towards, like, there was another entrance towards the view, and I was like, no, it's right here. And he stopped dead on the roundabout, John, and then started to reverse onto the roundabout to then carry on, and we're like, whoa, you can't do that, mate, you can't do that. And the cars were beeping and the horns were going, so we said, no, listen, just carry on, we'll get off up the road a bit. And we did, honestly. And I think that's me now off the taxi booking. I have been taken off that responsibility, but yeah, we nearly died like four or five times actually before we even got to Stirling. Right. So
big question is, what taxi company was it? Bruce's Express or Stenhouse? Come on.
I'm not gonna mention it.
Come on, Ross.
I'm not gonna mention. But honestly, like us, we're walking to the stadium and I says to the boys, listen, I said tees were gonna be lifted from A to B here, like treated right like royalty. Unfortunately, the royalty that ended up was Princess Diana. that journey, honestly, it was horrendous. So we needed alcohol when we got to the stadium. And fair play to Stirling Albion. They put a brilliant...
prawn sandwiches at halftime?
No prawn sandwiches.
That's the point.
Usual pies and stuff. But it was good fare. They didn't... The bar service was good. The only
Were you full bitter? Were you full paper? Was it the bar? Were you paying as you went? Or was it all-inclusive?
It was an all-inclusive.
Yes, my boy. I hope you kicked the arse at it.
We did well. And the only thing that could have made it better, and this is just me being like splitting hairs, is it wasn't like a proper bar, as in like we draft beer and stuff like that. It was bottles and cans and stuff. But that aside, it was a really, really good day. And obviously, when the guest pundit comes on, Andy, we'll kind of tell you another story about the after the match, because we'll probably talk about the captain of Stirling Albion, his situation before, but he came into the lounge, so we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that.
I think we'll get into that a bit later on. Obviously, you've been a fine purveyor of hospitality. In terms of the star rating for Stirling Albion's hospitality, I think we should make this a regular thing, because you're in hospitality every other week, Ross, though, so out 5 stars, what's Stirling getting?
I'll give Stirling a 4. I'll give Stirling a
4. 4-star review for Stirling Albion's hospitality. There we go.
That's it.
So well done, Ross. I'm glad you enjoyed your day. Like I say, I went to Brewdog after the game. Enjoyed the game. Went for a couple of pints in Brewdog. Really nice pint on there, Ross. Highly recommend the Wingman. It's a very good pint.
No, you're all right.
A couple of Hazy James, Ross. A couple of Hazy James. That was very nice.
We after the game, we hit up a couple of the Stirling bars as well. Loads of Bairns fans in the town.
Yeah,
after the game as well. So a big shout out to everybody that was chatting to us about the podcast and stuff as well. So yeah, it was brilliant.
Fantastic, great stuff. I met a couple of listeners as well who listened to the podcast. All had lovely things to say, so thanks very much for that, guys. Listen, got to say, talking about the podcast, we are sponsored by Haldane Construction. Peter and the team over there, they've been working across the central belt for over two decades, from domestic extensions, new builds, all the way through commercial swimming pools, care homes, got skills, professional approach to undertake a vast range of projects. So if you're looking to get anything done, you're a Falkirk supporter, these guys are fully behind the team. So if you're looking to get an extension on your house, get in touch with Peter and the team over there. You'll see them right across, plastered right across the stadium. Obviously in the north stand, they've got the big side of stand sponsor there as well. Customers at the heart of everything that Haldane Construction do. They'll take a collaborative approach, design, budget and management of projects, and they'll keep you in throughout the whole process of whatever bills you're getting. They'll stay in touch with you, let you know what's happening. They won loads and loads of awards. So if you are thinking about getting something done around the house, getting, you know, adding like a pool room, or maybe like you want to add a cinema room, or, you know, at Wayne Manor, perhaps, you know, we could add a devoted Falkirk room. That would be, though, in saying that is pretty much what you're sitting in just now, Ross.
Yeah.
Listen, get in touch with Peter. Quality and loyalty is the heart of their business. Get them at haldaneconstruction.co.uk. Hit them up on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, or you can drop them an email, info@haldaneconstruction.co.uk. All the links are in the biog below. Listen, we launched this last week and we've had good response to Pedro Watch. I feel like we should have some sort of jingle here, like in the radio. Pedro Watch. Anyway, it's a bit like Crime Watch. However, we look for elusive Portuguese winger, cult hero, a man amongst men, Pedro Moutinho. I don't think he's in the Falkirk area anymore. We have had rumours that he was moved to Madeira, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that sounds... that. We've had two or three people get in touch. Mr. Prophet, who's been a sponsor and guest pundit on before, and Paul, who you met in the pub before the game yesterday, he got in touch to say they believe he's in Madeira now. So,
yeah. However, I mean, that has not stopped Pedro Watch, and we have got several sightings of Pedro from his time. With three occasions he was at the club, Pedro, and we've got spottings right across Falkirk from everyone. So thanks for everyone that got in touch. Paul saw him about 100 times coming out the Sepia with a pizza box. Fraser coming out of City in 2012. The gaffer, says, used to serve him and Latapane behind the wall all the time. Pedro was a coffee and a couple of cigs, and Russell was a bottle of Miller, squirt of lime cordial, and a chicken burger. There we go. We're getting the menu choices of the...
Tell me what, we're going back if it's a bottle of Miller.
A what coffee?
You bought a Miller.
Oh, I loved a bottle of Miller. And you still, the most, you can still buy Miller, surely.
You know, you probably can. But
what about Rolling Rock? Yeah. What about a bottle of Rolling Rock? Did you ever
Rolling
drink
Rolling Rock? Rolling
in the Martell. Rock. I always had a bottle of Rolling Rock in the Martell. And Austin's as well used to have it as well.
Remember Michelob?
Oh, yes.
Michelob was nice.
Bring back, these are classic beers. I mean, you don't see
the bottle, the Michelob bottles are a kind of funky shape as well.
And obviously we all drank Budvar when they sponsored us. Like Falkirk basically got, and must have been out with of Czech Republic, the biggest selling Budvar place.
Speaking of beer, I know we're really digressing, but see, during lockdown, obviously we couldn't get out to pubs and stuff. Mm. I started buying. Do you remember Grosch? With the fun, remember with the top?
I used to wear the Brossettes used to wear it on their trainers and that.
So you could buy that on Amazon. I don't know if you still can, but
you can see you get groceries readily available, mate.
Aye, but not in those bottles. That was in that particular.
Oh, really? In the proper.
I bought that on Amazon.
Right. Okay. Well, listen. If you spot any Rolling Rock around, I'd be love to hear. I'd love to taste. I bet it tastes like shite. But I remember it fondly. So yes, anyway, back to the choices of Russell and Pedro in behind the wall. Coffee and a couple of cigars. I can just imagine Pedro and Russell sitting there and, you know, puffing the cigars. It'd be amazing. And Russell Lappy, lime in a bottle of Miller and a squirt of lime cordial. What's that? A lager and lime? Come on, Russell. Ranella says, I used to cut his hair. Great bloke. James says, Grangemouth Sports Complex in 2004 with the rest of the squad. Dougie says, filling my car up next to him at Tesco. Danny says, standing having a pint with him in behind the wall. Craig, there's a lot of behind the wall mentions.
There's a common theme here behind the wall, isn't there? Yeah.
Craig says, behind the wall one Saturday night in 2013. Standard, obviously. You know, behind the wall, Roses, behind the wall. That was the standard, wasn't it? Kenny Jameson, one of our directors, even got in touch, said, having a cigar while, maybe having a cig, whilst waiting on his girlfriend at a cafe in Larbert. There you go. And Fraser, our friend Fraser boy, Tesco car park, he was having a cigarette and then told me he had a flat tyre. Never liked him since. He told Fraser that he had a flat tyre, yeah. By the way. Yeah. Tesco's a very popular location for Pedro as well. Alicia's been in touch saying Tesco in 2013. So there we go, Pedro watch. Right, okay, we've done Pedro. What about Russell Latapy next? We want to go Latapy. Let's do Latapy watch for next week. Where and when did you spot Latapy? I will start you off. I was DJing in Gaia one night. Back in the day, it used to be the Jaffa Cake down King Stables Road. I was DJing there. It was a Thursday night. I used to do a student night in there. And I was like, it was all cheesy party tunes and all that sort of stuff. And I'm DJing. And him and Dwight York were in. And they came up to the DJ booth asking me to play some reggae. And I was just like, this is before he was a Falkirk legend. This is where he was at Hibs. And I was just like, mate, have you heard what I'm playing here? I know he's a good footballer and that, but I'm not putting on Bob Marley after S Club 7. That's so class. That was a Russell Latapy watch for me. Have you spotted him anywhere?
Do you know, not so much out and about. We, I think I might have shared the story last year, but where it was one time we were coming out of hospitality at the stadium.
Oh, what a shock.
This has gone back. And we were leaving to go into the taxis, and Russell was standing outside having a smoke. And he was like, I won't do the accent. He was
don't get us cancelled, Ross. Yeah.
We're going, boys, and we're like, or just up to behind the wall. Oh, can I come in to the taxi? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. So he comes in the taxi, and we're all sitting there like silent because Russell in the car here. And he's like, so he's asking a few questions. And he gets up, he pays for the taxi. What a legend. And we say to him, oh, come on, we'll get a beer and stuff. We'll get a beer. And he's like, no, it's fine. I've got my mate coming in. And his mate was in, and it was Dwight York.
Fuck, really? And behind the wall? I didn't realise Dwight went, oh, wow. Yeah, mate, imagine if he'd take you up in the offer and you're sitting having a beer with Dwight York and Russell Latapy.
That'd have been too cool, eh?
That would be amazing, but what a story. Brilliant stuff. Listen, news before we go on. The reserves won 5-2 against Dunfermline last Friday. I didn't make it along to the game myself, but in fact, it wasn't last Friday, it was Tuesday. Yeah.
Tuesday,
actually. So, yeah, apparently my brother went and said that basically Dunfermline were playing the youngsters. Yeah, we were playing like Jordan Allen, Lawau, and a couple of first teamers in there. But Jordan Allen got a goal, Lawau got a goal, Big Alfie came off the bench, I believe, and got a goal as well. Reese Walker got two, and he's also doing really well on loan at Camlin, Ross.
He is, yes. I think he scored in Camlin's most recent games as well. I think he scored in both. And just talking about Camlin, that's me putting my posh accent on for
Camlin.
No reason.
I know, Camlin.
As you do, like I always keep an eye on YouTube for like videos and stuff that go on. And there's a Scottish football YouTuber, a guy called Blair McNally.
I've seen
him. He's too popular with Burns fans, if I'm being honest. Maybe I think it's probably because he's been in sucking up.
I've seen him. I do a couple of Falkirk videos.
But he's always in the Dunfermline, and I think that's why he's not popular with us. Anyway, long story short, he was at Camlin during the week, and he was told to try the Buckfast and steak pie. So I watched his review on YouTube. And he says it's absolutely beautiful. I'm not convinced myself, if I'm being honest. I've never tried one.
It might actually work, you know, when you think of, you know, when you braise your steak. Sorry, we're well off. We're talking about cookery tips now. You know, when you braise your steak in a bit of red wine and you let it, you know, I won't get into that. I'm quite fancy trying that. But yeah, 5-2 winners over Dunfermline. Always good to get one over them. And listen, we wouldn't have, you know, probably shouted about it, but Dunfermline, it was all over the Twitter and all that sort of stuff, so get it up them. Fantastic. 5-2. Challenge Cup draw happened as well this week, and it's not the draw we wanted. I think we were on here last week saying we wanted Morton at home. But it's ended up, we've got Dundee United. Now, a couple of good things is they'll bring a big crowd, they'll bring a decent crowd, and it's, you know, home tie, so a lot more money for the club. And, you know, that's in terms of the teams that are left in the pot, that's the best kind of draw in terms of getting thing, but I'd rather had them in the final.
That would have been a huge occasion for a Falkirk Dundee United final potentially. So, but listen, it is what it is. We've got them now. There will be a big crowd there. It might get picked for TV. That's not been announced yet as well. So we'll see what happens there. And weirdly, they did the draw for the semi-final. So we know that if we get through, we're at home again to either TNS or Arbroath. So a bit random, but we've got a path laid out potentially to the final. So fingers crossed.
And it was I did not see it was a Falkirk supporter that did the draw.
Was it not someone from the Falkirk Foundation?
Yeah.
That was kind of cool.
Yeah, no, that you know, they could have got a couple of hot balls in there and they could have got a wee Morton at home draw, do you know what I mean? But semi-final draw. So, you know, the only team it beat us this season has been Dundee United, and that was a silly mistake from Big Tam. But yeah, it's, you know, it was a chance to, like you say, exact a wee bit of revenge, maybe show up a bit better in that game, you know, and potentially get, once you get to the semi, you fancy your chances against Arbroath or TNS, if you know.
Yeah, 100%. No, you would. I think if we can get past Dundee United, there's a real strong chance of us lifting the trophy getting to the final and potentially lifting the trophy. So fingers crossed.
I don't actually know where the final was played. It was obviously played at the Falkirk Stadium last season. I don't know if that's
it depends on who gets there, John, because they do try and do it on location. So I suppose it would depend on, I don't know who else is left in the other quarterfinals. So you're going to have Ackies and
Ackies. I'm trying to think who else.
Morton, obviously.
We're the only, as an Ackies, are the only League One that's all champion. Is Ayr, are Ayr still in it? I think Ayr's maybe still in it.
I know Morton are, Wraith are. I'm struggling to think who the others are. But so there's potentially still quite some big ties in there for a final. So see how we go.
Absolutely. The revamped 1876 club is now the 1876 youth development draw. You know a bit about this, Ross.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea. The 1876 club has been going on for a number of years. I don't know how successful it's been. I assume it has been relatively successful because they've kept it going. But I've no idea how many people partake in it every month. However, the good news is, for those that are currently still doing it and for those who may join it, so it's still going to be £10 a month. However, all of the money is now going to be earmarked for the youth development and bringing the academy back, just as we talk about with the Fortress Brockville event that we're hosting next month as well. But yeah, the prizes look good. And I think these are prizes that are on a monthly basis as well. So there's going to be a signed top, boardroom experience for two, tickets for club events. So Fortress Brockville, the speakers nights, the gala awards, things like that. So that sounds good. A mascot experience, you have to be between 5 and
14. Oh, so disappointing.
That's it. And a photo with a player of your choice. So I think we all know. Well, actually, are you now swithering more towards Tom Lang over Call, or are you still a big Call fan?
I think it's going to be Tam, isn't it? You know, though in saying that, I'd probably look better looking next to Call than I would Tam, because Tam's just, you know, he's a dreamboat, mate. He's a dreamboat.
Yeah, possibly.
So, yeah. We'll see how it goes. We talked about the Trust Trophy. The night before, on the 18th of November, it's Fortress Brockville at the Enshira. Tickets still available for that. It's going to be us hosting it. Bit of a kind of Q&A with some Falkirk legends talking about the great times that we had at Brockville. Crunchy, Sam McGivern, Tiger McLaughlin, and Davey Nichols are all going to be there. All the profits are going into the introduction of the Falkirk Academy. And we'll be, you know, we'll be there shooting the shit. We'll get actually you guys involved as well. We'd love to hear your questions that you have for these legends. But it's £35 a night per head. You know, we're going to have a good night, good couple of beers, just asking questions that, you know, you want to hear. I'm really intrigued at getting some of the, you know, the real behind the scenes. Who was who was an arsehole in the dressing room, who, you know, when were you given a dressing down, Davy Nichols, who was the, who, aside from you, who's the hardest player, did you ever have a fight with someone, you know, all these kind of questions I'm right into, by the way, see all these, oh, so talk about your experiences, you know, and, you know, when you played at Dunfermline, how, no, none of that nonsense, I'm getting right down and dirty with these
guys. We want warts and all. And you know what? I was speaking to Graham Stewart, one of the commercial guys. He was actually in hospitality yesterday with a big table full of Falkirk fans as well. And I did say to him, it's not like a suited and booted thing. This is like a smart casual. And he has confirmed it as a sort of smart casual. So people don't need to be all dressed up and what have you. Obviously, John, I know you'll be wearing Stone Island or CP company or something like that anyway. So we'll be sorted. We'll be sorted.
You got in there before I got in there, didn't you? Because I was just going to go straight to the Stone Island. Roscoe be there in the Stone Island. You know, it should be a cracking night. So please get involved with it. All the details are in the biog, or you can head on the club website and get tickets for that. £35 a head. It'll be a cracking night in Shira. Like I say, up behind the wall afterwards for a few beers as well, Roscoe.
Absolutely, yes.
And maybe the Manicky.
Oh, we should try and get the players up to the Manicky.
I believe they might be playing football. Oh, no, the ex-players. Sammy and Tiger. Oh, let's get Tiger into the Manicky. Come on, that's going to be the mission. Right, okay, we'll make that happen. Let's get Crunchy and Tiger into the Manicky after the event. That's that. Or what about the Sportsters or whatever it's called now, XOXO?
No, listen, we're too old for
whatever that is. Being one of those pictures that they always put up on Facebook, you know what I mean? Two old bastards just sitting there at the bar with a pint. competition reminders. Ross, what have we got?
Yes, last but not least, before we start talking about the game, because it was a big one yesterday. We're edging ever closer to having 1,876 followers on X, or Twitter as it used to be known. We're currently at 1,839, so we're very, very close. As soon as we hit 1,876, we have a couple of prizes to give away. So we've got two giveaways to do with Slap and the Bass Designs, who we'll always share the links for as well. They've got some fantastic artwork of the Hope Street End and also the Brockville Tunnel. We've got the same prints. So there's two sets of prints there, one in A4, one in A5. And these are printed on the highest quality cards. So they just look absolutely amazing. And the second thing is we have a very much sought after captain's armband with Falkirk Daft on the side. People are asking for these, and there's obviously adults looking for these. So this this possibly could be the only way an adult may get a captain's armband, because the kids are obviously absolutely...
See, when it starts getting to... I saw it yesterday, there was adults looking for a captain's armband. See, when... honestly, guys, right, I know he's want an armband, but don't wrestle the poor children out the way to try and get it.
Are we going to start seeing these signs like they do in the Premiership?
Do you know what?
Can I have your armband, please?
You can see Brian Stewart there, you know. That's why he got so angry yesterday, maybe. That's why he was getting all hit up. We'll get into that in a bit as well.
I get the stolen Albion captain's armband yesterday.
You know, maybe it's an idea for the club to start selling them in the shop.
But then it might reduce its worth if they do that. I think we keep these as limited as we can.
Okay. Look at you. I'm trying to make the club more money. You're just like, no. So that's all the competition details. Get involved with us and get followers, obviously, on Falkirk Daft, Instagram, Facebook. We're all over that sort of stuff. Right, that's all the business taken care of. Let's get into the game, shall we? And every week we like to invite a guest pundit. Now, this is a very special guest pundit because we've been trying to get him on the show for ages and ages. The guy that we stand beside at the football. One of Falkirk's top goal scorers in Europe, I'll have you know as well. Mr. Andrew White, who scored in Budovice when it was a fans team against another fans team, and he scored, stood up. I think he won the penalty. He stood up and scored the penalty as well in Budovice. So alongside Ryan Flynn, is it? Who scored the game for us?
Ryan Flynn scored Ryan the home one.
Yeah. Andy is the second, you know, the joint top scorer in Europe for us. So let's please welcome on to Falkirk Daft.
Hey, Andy boy, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for that intro, John. I'd like to say it's a privilege and an honour to join you, but That would probably be a lie.
You know, we've topped you up there, Andy, obviously, in Budovice. Now, am I right in remembering that you won the penalty as well as scored the penalty against the Budovice team?
That's right, John. That's the only reason I would ever have taken the penalty. I was quite keen to pass on the responsibility to somebody else, but because I'd been halved, it was me.
It was only right, Andy. It was only right. You took the ball in your hand, you placed it on the spot, boom. I think it was low to, from my recollection, it was low to the keeper's left.
You've got a better recollection than I seem to remember it being a bit of a trundling effort. I don't know if the keeper was expecting something better and could have dived it away, but anyway, it went in. So the rest
how many pints of Pivo had you had by this point?
Less than John, I think.
Well, obviously, you know, that was obviously your fueled on fish on a stick as well at that point as well. If anyone wasn't in Budovice, that became a big thing about people selling fish on a stick. It was incredible stuff. Right, so introduce it. You should bring that back, you know, catering and Falkirk, fish on a stick. Bring it.
I don't think that's going to take off.
Maybe not. Andy, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Now, we should, you know, myself, Ross, Andy, we've been going to the matches for God, how many odd years now together. We've all been standing with each other for, you know, what's going on? I must be going on 30 years now, is that?
Probably 30 years, I would say.
Oh my God, that's ridiculous. But Andy, like, I don't think I've ever asked you this, is out with the Holy Trinity, who's your favourite Falkirk player of all time?
Well, I've been thinking about it because I knew you were going to ask, and I'm not really sure I could name 20, 30 players that were all, you know, probably more or less equal, but I've plumped for Richie Cadet because I think he was just kind of, I don't know, such a big player for us in an era when we were, you know, playing pretty well. It was kind of quite a, it was fairly early days in my Falkirk support, but it feels like it was, and we were playing some good stuff, and he was scoring some good goals, and he's a bit of a kind of icon. I mean, so I've got my, you'll not see it, but I've got my nine, and it says Cadet.
Oh, I like it.
Nice. And how did, I mean, again, a question that I should have asked you, Andy, obviously we've been going to football together for years and years and years and years, but how did you, you know, start going to football? You know, what was your experience of going to your first Falkirk match?
Well, that's probably the same as what my dad took me along when I was younger. I think the first match I think I remember, and I might be making this up, was sitting in the main stand, and I think we were in East Fife, must be mid-80s, I guess, and I think we drew the game one each, maybe. And everybody ran out the pitch celebrating, and I had absolutely no idea. I don't know what age I was, but young, too young to understand. And I think it was a game which, because we drew that game, we stayed up or something like that. So that's the first, I think that's the first game.
I've got 2-2 in my head.
Could have been 2-2.
Was that not the game where we got promoted to the Premier League or something like that? Yeah, was that one of those?
Either we stayed up or we got promoted. Because then I think I remember playing teams like Celtic and Aberdeen at Rockwell, and then stand again. And then for there, just kind of my dad lifting over the turnstiles, and we used to, we more often went to the terrace, to be honest, after that. And then eventually got to the point where got my season ticket, I think just after we got to the Scottish Cup final, I realised I could actually get my own season ticket. And then since then, I've been going pretty much ever since.
Stuck with us, unfortunately. That's it. You were at Stirling Hospitality yesterday as well, Andrew. We've heard some of Ross's stories about the taxi ride there and a couple of beers in the town afterwards. Anything to add from the Prawn Brigade?
No, well, the taxi was the high of it, not the high of it. The low light, maybe, I don't know. I think it's the bit of the experience that will stay with me longest, and it sounds like you've already covered that, so I'll not bore you with the same stuff.
But yeah. Ross refuses to out the taxi company, by the way. Ross is not out in the taxi. Bruce's Express or Stenhouse, it's good, you know, I don't know.
Listen, these are future sponsors, John.
That's true.
Maybe Bruce's or Express will pay us money to not mention.
There we go. good day had by you and the rest of the crew, Andrew.
It was good. It's always hospitality's good. That's the first time I've done any sort of away hospitality. Falkirk, plenty of times, never done it away from home, so it was a good experience. And Everybody was very nice. I think
it was a four-star. It was a four-star from review from the master of hospitality here. You gave it four stars.
Wayne's got plenty of experience, hasn't he? I think he's. I'm not sure if there's a week left this season when he's not in some sort of hospitality.
Well, exactly. Listen, let's get into the game, gents. Stirling Albion 1, Falkirk 2, Ross McKeever and Brad Spencer with the goals. Couple of changes from last week's game. Morrison and Spencer obviously recovering from the knocks that they had, which ruled them out of the game last week, and came back into the side. McKeever came back in for Jordan Allen as well. And Hogarth remained in the sticks. Surprisingly, this kind of came out of nowhere that Sam Longwood didn't even make the bench. Any word on that from what you heard in hospitality, Ross?
No, he was sitting a few rows in front of us during the game. And I'm only going to... Obviously, we're not medically trained, but he had neither of his hands like in a stookie or something. So fingers crossed he's all right. It was him and Nadine Nesbitt were sitting in front of us. So Nesbitt was doing an awful lot of running. Actually, sorry, just to digress back to hospitality, but obviously we could see... like really early on, so about 12:30, 12:45, Aidan Nesbitt was doing like multiple laps of the pitch, so he may be nearer fitness than the club first thought.
Yeah, I thought when we first saw that injury, we kind of thought it'd be a month and a half to 2 months out, but that's good news if Aidan's getting back to full fitness, and you saw that happening, so good. But yeah, Nicky obviously. Very competent goalkeeper. Sam's done a great job this season, I think. There was about one or two nightmare moments he's had, one at Thistle and can't remember the other one, but generally, you know, he's been really good in a rock behind the two centre-backs. But we all know what Nicky can do. We all know he's a good goalkeeper as well. Didn't have much to do yesterday, in all fairness, but, you know, he's always there when you need him. So, yeah, good to see Nicky getting his chance. Started off... absolutely 100 brilliantly, you know that goal coming the first kind of 10 minutes it was a great goal from Ross McKeever. Ross,
it was and it was coming, like the early pressure was really, really good. I just think we started with such a high tempo. I think the players probably got a good lift from seeing the full stand and the terrace behind it, and the voices were going as well. And so there was just like an early intensity. But yeah, what a start to the game. Agyeman, who I didn't feel had a good overall game. But he played McKeever in well, and first time curler into the top corner. So yeah, couldn't have been a better start.
I mean, Andy, I mean, it's good to see. Obviously, we've known Ross for he's more of a kind of 6 yards, you know, that hold up play. We're used to seeing headers from him, but that was something that I don't think we've seen in Ross McKeever before, that kind of strike and, you know, curling shot from outside the box.
Yeah, that's what I was saying just afterwards to Pope Brown, because we've seen, I know that you've talked about earlier in the season, a few kind of, I don't know, deflected efforts or things that kind of somehow crept in or bounced off his knee or whatever. But I think more recently he's been scoring some, you know, decent goals. I think he's got a kind of, he can score different types of goals, can't he? So, yeah, that was a good one yesterday. I wondered if the keeper maybe should have done better, but maybe I'm being harsh on him. Certainly was complaining.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that first half, Ross, like, you know, there was Agyeman, he didn't have a great, I mean, we saw he got hooked at half time, but he didn't have a great game, but then he gets an assist, and he also hit the post as well. Do you know what I mean?
It was a weird half for him, because he was involved. He was involved in the goal. He had a chance himself. In fact, I think he had two chances, because there was one.
He sclaffed that shot, which fell to Gary Oliver, you know, and Gary Oliver could have, you know, put that in.
The trouble was, out with those chances, and it sounds like sour grapes, but he obviously, he was involved, but... All I remember is I'm constantly slipping and giving the ball away. And I wasn't shocked that he was subbed at halftime. The only thing I was shocked about was that Gary Oliver stayed on the park as well. I thought Ethan Ross might have came on at halftime as well, to be honest.
And interestingly, obviously Gary Oliver retained his place, Andy. Do you think he works well in that 10 row? I mean, he's obviously Nesbitt's or kind of go-to there, but... Do you think Gary Oliver works in that 10? You know, he played in midfield, he played in that role last season, but I just don't know, Oliver, he just feels a bit off it for me.
He's like, it feels like there's a good player in there, or a decent player, but I'm not quite sure what role it is, because we tried to play him a bit more like a striker or something last season, didn't we? And that clearly wasn't a, you know, what it was. So in some ways, the 10 seemed to make sense, but I think Nesbitt's better in that role. So, you know, I'm not sure quite where he fits in, which sounds a bit harsh, because I do quite like him, but I'm just not sure what his best position is.
Yeah. I mean, we had chances, and like you say, Ross, in that first half, we did have our chances. You know, McKeever had another shot which went straight at the goalkeeper. Morrison had the free kick, again, which was down low to the keeper. And we were doing really well. You know, we looked really comfortable. Stirling didn't look like a threat at all. And then an absolute mess at the back for their goal.
It was a complete clusterfuck. Is that the phrase?
I think clusterfuck is definitely a phrase.
It was just all over the place, because it obviously started with Alfie passing the ball back, which I don't know is the right. Like, Andy, I think we were talking about this yesterday. It felt more like McCann, I think, could have swept the ball out the park.
I think McCann obviously saw Alfie going back to cover it, but I wonder if, and McCann just seemed to then stop and say, well, that's fine, it's covered, you know, and I wonder if maybe being the defender, it would be more natural for him to go across and clear it with his left foot rather than Freddie going back to the game.
It was just a category of errors in the next 30 seconds.
You're looking round and right going, right, is it, like you say, is it McCann's fault for not coming over? Is it Agyeman's fault? Is it Yates' fault? Is it Lang's fault? Is it the goalie's fault? It was an absolute, just like, I'm sitting watching in front of me going, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah. And as you said, John, they didn't look like scoring otherwise, so it was only going to come from
absolutely not. I mean, you know, you don't, Nicky didn't have a save to make. The only other chance they did have was when Leon McCann had to clear it off the line. And that was even a safe for Nicky, you know. They did not look like scoring at all. And yet again, this was the problem that plagued us last. We're victims of our own, you know, downfall. That's not the phrase I'm looking for. But we make ourselves our own problems. That's what happened again and again last year. And again, that was another prime example, just making hard work for ourselves.
Yeah, we did make hard work in the last sort of 5-10 minutes. That gave them a bit of confidence as well. And
especially before half time, the timing the goal's terrible, you know, when you lose a goal just before half time.
It wasn't a great time. And then they got, as you say, they got confidence. They started to get a bit sure of themselves as well. Like, there were situations with tackles and they were constantly moaning at the ref. Like, the Stirling Albion captain was constantly at the ref's ear. He was at the dugout side linesman's ear. And you just think, you're just a shite, mate. What are you doing? Like, you're embarrassing yourself by doing what you're doing. And I think they thought that was going to, like, really piss us off. And it obviously didn't work. It didn't rile us, really. The ref was card happy. I know we'll probably come back to him. But, they got a decent lift off that.
Yeah, there was, you know, a terrible time to lose a goal. And then 1-1, obviously, we talked about it. Agyeman went off. Do you think, it's been a tactical change from McGlynn, surely, on that. Because, like you say, Ross, it was just a very strange game for Alfie. Andy, I mean, I don't know what you're going to take. I think the last couple of weeks, Hamilton games that we've been playing, I don't think Alfie's been on the kind of form he was prior to those games.
I don't think as a team we've been quite as free-flowing the last couple of games.
Yeah, I think as a team you're right.
Yeah, but Agyeman's that sort of player. We've said it all, you know, before, we said it about when he first joined, really. He's going to be kind of a bit of a miss. He's not going to be consistent. And actually, I've been quite surprised early in the season how consistent he's ended up being. But definitely yesterday, things just weren't working for him. You know, as Ross says, he was slipping. I wondered if he had the wrong studs in it. He seemed to be slipping around. But he was making the wrong decision. He was on the ball a lot, but it just didn't seem to kind of quite make the right decision. So, as Ross has said, none of us were surprised when he went off, even though that's a half-time sub, which isn't, you know, typical of him. He didn't seem to be quite one. But I wouldn't be surprised if he plays it next week and, you know, and scores a hat trick. It's just the sort of areas, I think.
Yeah, I'll actually be very surprised if he starts next week, because Miller came off the bench. And, you know, we'll get into Falkirk Daft rated, but he could certainly be in contention. I mean, immediately you saw the impact that he made when he set up Callum Morrison for that chance, which was just wide. I mean, Callum Morrison, you would expect to finish that, Ross.
Yeah, I didn't actually realise it was Morrison that had missed it until we started talking about it a few minutes later. I actually thought it was Miller that or one of the others that had missed it. But, yeah, it was a poor miss from Callum. And he's normally deadly, but what was that, 10 yards out? And I don't think he's missed by much, but...
No, he didn't. I was right behind it. And when it fell to him, you're just thinking, right, just knock it in. But, you know, it did go... Aside from that, though, the chances were few and far between. Stone had quite a bit of possession in that second half. I mean, in fairness, they didn't do too much with it. But no. They came into it, Andy.
They did, and, you know, there was a spell in... Well, a good spell in the second half where it, without threatening too much, as you say, without making any clear-cut chances, did kind of worry they were still the most likely to score. You know, they had more of the ball and we seemed a bit kind of out of sorts, and it wasn't clear how we were going to change it. Even after the subs had been made, or some of the subs had been made, it didn't immediately click, although I agree Miller was good when he came on. But it was worrying that we could have ended up losing 2-1 to kind of Stirling Albion having two shots on target or something.
Yeah, McCann obviously at 1-1. McCann, you know, got back, did really well getting it off the line. We had a bit of a penalty shout. I don't know if there was much in it. You know, there was a shout with one of the Spillin' Albion support players apparently handling the box. I don't know if it was or not, Ross. You seem to had a better.
Well, from our angle, he put his hand up, his arm up quite high. That was why I was thinking it was a pen. But listen, the ref. The most was poor yesterday.
I mean, I've never seen so many yellow cards dished out for so little. That guy, Colin White's the ref's name. I honestly, in fairness though, he had a big part in the goal.
He did well.
I mean, yellow cards were flying out. I mean, the most ridiculous one was when Bisland went to take that throw in it near the end and he got booked for time waste. Come on. I thought he was terrible, but... Let's talk about the goal. McKeever did so well, you know, just rushing. I mean, the boy had an absolute mare. I believe it. I can't remember the name of the player.
I can tell you, and I'll tell you why I know this. So obviously, we were sitting right at the sort of throng of Stirling Albion fans. And he was warming up and they were going, oh, Jack. And they were loving him for coming on, right? This is a guy with the Alice band and the number 10 shirt, right? And they were absolutely loving him. So I think they were expecting big things. All he did, his part in the game was to just fuck up twice because he brought McKeever down in the build-up to the goal. But see, when you watch the goal back, and I didn't see it at the time, but he actually halves Ethan Ross just as he plays the pass to Brad Spencer as well. So had Brad Spencer, I think, missed, I genuinely think the ref would have pulled it back for a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, The guy should have absolutely just emptied out the park, but decided to put it back. McKeever did so well. And again, I was like, we did score the goal. The referee played the advantage, in all fairness, and played the advantage. Like you say, Ethan Ross got it. Good assist. Great little finish from Brad Spencer. I was right behind it. I thought, he's not got enough power in that for it to go in, but it like was just really well placed. But as you say, Ross, like, why is the ref not, like, he's played the advantage, but that boy's got to go in the book a red card because he was the last man.
Did he not actually book him then?
No!
That just typifies, like, I know we're giving him the benefit of the doubt for playing play on, but that was a booking at any day of the week, and for the halfing of Ethan Ross and the build-up to the goal as well. But, John, I know I said this right at the beginning, what scenes when that goal went in? I've never, like, it's been so long. Like, granted, Kelty's got a terrace, right? But the terrace behind that goal looked absolutely brilliant. I was jealous of not being in there at that moment, because it did. It looked magic. Mm. We were obviously all up on our feet and the
home. That's not the Stirling Albion supporters.
But there was a few more. See, there was a few Bairns fans in hospitality, but the first goal, there wasn't too many standing up at our first goal. But the second one, it felt there was a lot more noise around us in terms of folks standing up and clapping and going a bit mental. So Yeah, it was bedlam at that goal. Absolute bedlam.
I mean, Andy, Brad Spencer's made a huge difference. I think we've talked about this in the podcast. We've certainly talked about it in the stadium, but he's made such a difference to that midfield this year, hasn't he?
Oh, he's excellent, isn't he? He's just been kind of what we need. We need that sort of strengthening through the middle of the whole spine of the team, and it seems that's what we've kind of done, and Spencer in the middle pulling the strings. I think he's had one or two games recently where he's not quite been at his best as well, but you know, he's popped up with a couple of really crucial goals for sure.
And actually,
I thought he was fantastic yesterday from start to finish. Did you notice a lot of the cross-field passes to, like, out to Finn Yeats and stuff was all coming through Brad? He was digging into tackles. He was picking out passes. He was just phenomenal. He really was.
I actually thought for parts the midfield was pretty much bypassed yesterday, though. I mean, I don't like Hendo. I mean, it was very much going out. I mean, Hendo, I don't think was in the game at all. I mean, he did a lot of grafting in the midfield area, but it was going wide, and like I thought the midfield got passed and bypassed an awful lot in that game yesterday. I was crying out. I think like we did when we. Brad obviously got that last minute goal against Queen of the South. We went more central rather than going out to the wings. It just felt Morrison, I didn't think, had a great game yesterday. I don't think his crossing was brilliant. Agyeman, we've talked about. I mean, Calvin Miller made a big difference when he came on. I thought Ethan Ross, when he came on, I thought he was really, really good as well. So the subs certainly made a difference. But it was an interesting one for the midfield yesterday because I don't think they got utilised enough.
John, I can understand that because I think we might have said that at one point as well, Andy, that the balls were just kind of flying here and there. I thought, for me though, Spencer, I thought he was the only one in the midfield, and it's not a discredit Hendo or Oliver or the guys that then came on, but Brad just, he was everywhere over across that pitch. It'd be interesting, you know how they all wear these wee fitness things now and you can tell how far they've ran and all that kind of stuff. I genuinely think Brad Spencer was, he must have ran miles upon miles yesterday, and he covered every blade of grass. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I tell you who else I'd like to see that. I thought Leon McCann, I thought Finn Yeats did an awful lot of work yesterday as well. You know, we've talked about Finn Yeats, you've been placed at that right back position, but he grafts so much. And Leon McCann was up and down all afternoon, you know, and obviously
was.
Saved their bushes by getting it off the line. I didn't know it's Brad Spencer's John Spencer's son.
Yes, do you know, I didn't know that though until Saturday night when John Spencer tweeted about his son. I was like, where have I been that I've not known that fact?
I wonder, this is one, I wonder if there is such a thing as a Falkirk, well, a Sons 11. There must be a Sons 11 that you could put together, because you think Liam Henderson, obviously Nicky's boy, is out in Italy, the Liam Henderson. You know, you look at some of the Sons that are playing, be interested to put the Sons 11 together, but there's Brad Spencer certainly been. Another game I was playing yesterday, well, I don't know why, I was sitting in my bed last night, I don't know why this popped into my brain, I was like, could you make, like, using the surnames previous, like, Falkirk players, so for example, Gary Oliver, Neil Oliver, using the surnames of the current Falkirk squad, could you make...
John, the hours must fly by in your house.
Because, like, Liam Henderson...
That's what your Saturday night was. You should have been through it.
Miles Hogarth, obviously, Nicky Hogarth. There's one for the Sons 11 as well. There you go, listen. Listen, it's... sorry, if you want to add to this squad, please get in touch with the podcast. I'm just thinking, is there another Spencer that's played for us? Yeah, anyway,
you might be struggling for argument, John.
What's that?
You might be struggling for argument, I guess.
Yeah, that's very true.
I'm not sure we've had one of them before.
Wow, as well, yeah. Anyway, this is the kind of thing that keeps me up at night. So we get the goal. I've got to put a shout out as well. Brian Stewart, if you're a Bairn supporter, you'll know who Brian is. He was the one that got in a bit of an argy-bargy with Greg Spence, the Stirling Albion captain. Now, I don't know what was said, but having bumped into Brian in the pub a few times, I can't imagine it would be you're an idiot or, for goodness sake, Stirling Albion player, you fool. I can't imagine it would be that kind of language that would have been used,
Ross. Probably not. But Brian, He never goes too far. I think that at worst he's probably questioned the boy's parentage, maybe. But I just learned they were taking the piss with the time wasting most of that game, right? And Brian's threw the ball away, as any other Falkirk fan would have done as well at that point, because we were knee deep into this 10 minutes of added time.
Oh my god!
Where the ref got all of that from, I'll never know. But listen, Brian's a huge Bairns fan, very passionate guy. It's not the first time I've seen him red-faced and the fingers out and stuff like that, but listen, he wouldn't have taken it too far. I saw some of the rumours that were going on Twitter today about what he said. It sounds farcical. The people round about him will have heard what the conversations took place, and obviously we weren't anywhere near it, but I'm sure it's not anything too brutal. But
exactly. You know, it was quite funny as well. We were obviously behind the goal, and Stirling Albion keeper Blair Curry was getting absolutely tight as well, to the point that he bit back it, you know, because it was obviously you five cut when it's the kicks, and then there was a bit of banter, like someone just kept rating his goal kicking about it. That was really good goalkeeper, not it was just getting wound up, and he bit back at one of the supporters, and the ref came over and had a word with him, like, for fuck's sake, ref.
Yeah, so they were
ridiculous.
They were obviously struggling with the banter yesterday, because obviously the keepers, as you've just said, lost it. The captains definitely lost it, not just with Brian, but the Bairns fans where we were sitting were obviously giving him some verbals as he walked off about being a grass. And I know we've not talked about this yet, but after the game, one of the guys, Graham, who was in hospitality with it was his birthday, and Stirling Albion, to their credit, like, we told them it was a birthday thing, right? And out the kindness of the hearts, they brought in like a cake, a birthday cake.
Oh, no, they didn't know it, did they?
However, the captain and a few of the players had to sing happy birthday to him.
No, they didn't, did they?
He did, but then see, when the captain saw it was like a bunch of Falkirk fans, his face just went. And it was like brilliant, absolutely amazing.
But listen, I think it was a very much smash and grab job. I think we've alluded to it throughout the podcast. It wasn't a vintage performance for Falkirk, was it, Andy?
No, but I'm beginning to think it's a bit like, you know, that season where we were under Houston and we just kept on grabbing late goals and equalisers out of nowhere, Rangers, Hibs games and so on. And we kept on doing it to the point that you had 10 minutes to go and you thought we're 2-0 down or something. You thought, we'll probably still get a result here. It begins to feel a bit like that, where the players believe and the fans believe, even if we're struggling and there's not long to go, we're probably going to get a goal for somewhere to get a result. So I don't think Stirling Albion deserved to win the game. And I always thought, the way we've been playing this season, the late goals we've scored already, you know, there was a chance we'd get one. And that's a bit transparent. So it's feeling quite, you know, positive now that even when we're struggling, we'll find a way to take a result.
I stick by my prediction made yesterday. Granted, it was very late on last
night. Oh, God, how many bites deep were you at this point?
There was a few. I'm going to stick with my prediction that we will not lose a league match this season.
Jesus Christ, Ross. God almighty. Listen, obviously, we made it all sweeter as well. Hamilton, I mean, completely unexpected. It was obviously Michael McKindle's first game in charge at Edinburgh. And, they've obviously had that wee new manager bounce there. And they've done us a great favour, taking a point at Hamilton yesterday. I mean, that was the wee icing on the birthday cake at the end of the match. You know, it was, you know, great to hear that result come. So 2 points clear at the top of the league, which is just great. It means we can afford a draw somewhere down the line, you know what I mean? So it's good to see that. But, you know, if we're going by Ross's prediction, we'll, you know,
it won't matter.
Listen, we'll hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match.
Leaving it late again, John, how does it feel to get another late winner?
So it's nice to score late winners, yeah. Over the course of 36 games in a season, you're going to have games where it's maybe not all went to plan. Today I thought, first half, we would get a really good start in the game. Great goal by Ross McIver, he's just bent it right away in the faraway corner, and we're very much on top. Good opportunities after that. Alfie's got one for a corner kick. I feel we should score. Somehow the lads managed to clear it, but he shouldn't have been able to clear it on the line. And then again, the combination of Alfie having a chance and and Gary Oliver in another sort of move that could have led to a goal. So very much on top in the first half, but still we're never out of it. And unfortunately for us, right before half time, a ball into the box, there's a little bit of confusion. Goes back to Nicky, who manages to unfortunately hit the ball against their player, and it ricochets in the box and eventually ends up in our goal, which, you know, out of very little, you know, they managed to get a goal. Fair play to Stirling, it gave them a little bit of encouragement, even though at the start of the second half, you know, I felt we had a good opportunity to take the lead again. Callum's really got to score. Calvin Miller's really set it up for Callum to score, and he's dragged his shot wide. And then after that, you know, we give a series of free kicks, and it allowed Stirling Albion to get the ball in our box, which you've got to defend, which we did defend. Maybe at times it would lead to a corner kick and it would be another bit. So there was a bit of pressure without coming to an awful lot. They had one opportunity down the left-hand side across the goal, and Liam McCann's managed to get back and clear it off the line, which was good for us, good break. But we kept on going, and on the counter-attack we were dangerous, and that's exactly what happened. And a really, really good finish from Brad Spencer. Calvin Miller had an opportunity to slide in Ola as well, and we could add it to it. I think Big Ross had a chance later on in the game as well. So, yeah, a day where we weren't great, especially second half we weren't great, but still, you know, the attitude was fantastic to keep going, keep going, keep going, to defend, to get up and down the pitch. First time we played on grass, you know, in a long time, probably since pre-season, air, but after that. So we don't play on grass too often. And to be fair, the pitch was actually good considering the amount of rain that's been we've had in the last few days. So no complaints on that, but for us a little bit, with so many AstroTurf pitches and playing on AstroTurf or Cell, you know, it's a little bit different coming onto the grass today.
Do you know what? That's a really valid point that John McGlynn just made there. I hadn't even thought of that. We're playing on grass for the first time since air, and it's, you know, that's really interesting because it must change. Obviously, change the whole dynamic. Obviously, all week we're training on the Astro. We're playing, you know, all the pitches apart from Stirling in this league are Astro as well. That's a really interesting point that you made there. Two things we actually didn't mention actually when we're doing our analysis of the match was the Calvin Miller chance where he obviously saw the stars. Where he had that amazing dribble, he thought, fuck that, I'm having a go here. But see if he just slid in Ola. Ola had a tap in. And the other thing we did discuss is Cole Donaldson's free kick. Come on.
Oh my God, that was the worst one ever, wasn't it?
I was standing, and my mate Chippy, who came to the game, he's a Celtic supporter, and I said, come on, we'll have a few beers and we'll go to the football. And he said, aye, why not? And he said, is that big centre half taking the free kick? And I went, nah, I don't think so. It'll just be, then I think it was Ethan Ross stood away for a while. Oh God, he's hitting it. And, you know, Cole's got a decent strike in him, but he's like, I thought he's going to hit it hard and low. That's why he's up to hard and low. And then fucking woof.
John, we said exactly the same. We just assumed that this thing was going to get hit at like 100 mile an hour, right? Bear in mind, Morrison was still in the park, obviously, at this point when he hit it, I'm sure. But see if they wanted someone to kick the ball out, we could have done that. But big call, yeah. I'd low and hard, you would have assumed would have been the order.
I don't think he'll be getting on a free kick again this season, I'll be honest with you after that. Actually, it's Morrison as well. Looked like he took a bit of a knock, so fingers crossed he's all right for next week against Alloa as well. Let's go to the supporters, see what everybody's saying. Graham says, a lovely, horrible win. What a fantastic way to describe that. A lovely, horrible win. Could be my new favourite away day.
Yeah, could well be. Just as we said, it was a good away day, John. Right?
Yeah.
Grant says, decent in the first half and should have had the game won by halftime, but paid the price for not taking our chances. The second half was a scrappy affair, but we deserved the win. The ref was awful, let them off with some rough challenges and made some baffling decisions.
It was terrible for both teams, actually. Another Graham says, graft, attitude, determination, spirit. The team had it all today whilst playing poorly. These types of wins win leagues. I think we all.
Do you know what I love about that sentence?
Yeah.
Is Graham, who said that, used to be one of the most critical fans going. You remember Graham McKechnie, who he was always on the Facebook page and he was always on Twitter and he was always so, so critical. I love the fact that he's so on board with the club this season. Absolutely love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Dylan says, not the best performance from us, but it's good that we can finally win these scrappy games that we are typically forced to play in this league. Last season, we would have fell apart after the equaliser.
Yeah, a lot of people I spoke to after the match coming out was like, these are the games that would have crumbled in the last couple of years. And we've said that so many times in the podcast this season as well. Martin says, tough watch, as we should have been out of sight 30 minutes gone, then conspired to let Sterling back in. Had too many players having an off day. Gave him too much encouragement, but to be fair, Brad Spencer was the coolest man in Sterling to slot home that winner.
He was indeed. I don't know. I know we're not at Falkirk Daft Rated yet, but it's going to be a big one to move away from Mr. Spencer.
See what we get to.
Ian says Aguiman was worse than a man down first half. Miller made a huge difference when he came on. Fed up saying it, but this is a game we would have drawn or lost last year. This team has something different about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuart says, far from our best, but you have the feeling there's always a moment in us to win a game, which we've lacked for years. Again, just coming back to that point. Dafty has to be the Sterling captain for wanting the fans sent off. What a whopper. I don't know if Brian would have used that term, actually. Whopper, he might have.
No, I don't think he would have said whopper. No, at all. And Davey says, as much as I'm enjoying the new and improved play fairly average, but still win, as an upgrade from last season, it would be nice if we could even it up by dishing out a few more hammerings. Still, I'll take it, and we're up the road. And finally, the last message we got was actually still during the game, or towards the end of the game, from on our DMs, from our friend Willie Stroker, who is over in Australia. He says, myself and Ross McLeod, shiting ourselves on the couch. However, Sterling got cummed on. Catch us if you can, you Hamilton dogs. Come on.
Thank you very much, Willie Stoker, over in Australia there for us. Right, let's get into it then, because I think it's going to be quite contested this week. Right, Falkirk Daft Rated. Ross, we know where your vote's going.
Well, listen, we've heard of 50 Shades of Grey. This is 50 Shades of Brad Spencer. The guy is sexy. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, sexy as Tam.
Well, listen, he's a different kind of sexy. He knows what he's doing. He touched every blade of grass yesterday, and he slammed home the winner, and the scenes were just fantastic.
Andy?
I think I'm going to go Miller. I thought it changed the game, you know, in the second half, and I don't think we would have got a result without him as much as it was Spencer scored the goal. So that's all.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to split it even further. I think, I don't know whether to give it to McKeever or McCann. I think I'm always a defender, so I'm going to give it to Leon McCann. I thought Leon McCann, again, I don't think he gets talked enough. I really don't think Leon McCann gets talked enough in the work rate he does down that left-hand side. Defends well. For a wee guy, he wins more headers than he should. He's just a workhorse, you know, and he combines so well with Morrison down that left. But Ross McKeever, I thought, put in a power. He took his goal really well and put in a power of work. Obviously, Ron played Big a big, part of, se- big part of second as well. Oh, I'm split. I'll go Leon, though. I'll go Leon because I don't think we talk about him enough. And McKeever, as we know, is Ross's golden boy. So, aye. Well, who are we going to give it to then? Do you know what? As our guest pundit, we'll let Andy decide who it goes to. Who are you going for, Andy, then? Are we going with your choice?
I feel bad now, I'm going to stick actually, so let's go on.
There we go then. That is our Falkirk Daft Rated. Right, what about the Falkirk Dafty then?
Who are you thinking, Andy?
It depends how strictly we need to kind of stick to Falkirk players or others. I mean, I think still an Albion captain would be high on the list. The only thing I couldn't understand with him was that when he had his altercation with Brian, he then spent 5 minutes rather than taking a throw in and trying to get an equaliser, just complaining and losing more time. So that makes sense to me. There was a taxi driver. that was scary stuff. And then, well, I don't know. If I was forced to sort of pump for a Falkirk player, then I think it'd be arguing for that for the first half.
Yeah, I think so. For me, it was Aguiman, and I think Greg Spence should probably get an honorary Falkirk Dafty as well for being a fanny. So, yeah, we'll go with that. Ross?
I'm going to say someone that's not been mentioned, but Andy knows fine well who this person is. We were deep into injury time, John, and I don't mean injury time of the match, I'm talking about injury time of last orders. And the waiter who we called over for last orders, his response to when we tried to get another round in was, "I think he's got enough on this table." What the fuck? And he walked up and we're like, so see the tip that we're going to give this lad? That is when back in our kitty for...
Was that a restaurant in Stirling?
Oh, this is the hospitality. He says, no, I think he's got enough drink on your table.
Eh!
Exactly.
Get that in the bin. We paid full spooner here for the free bar. Come on.
Granted, we did all have two drinks in front of us, right? John, however, it's half an hour to go. We're going to use that in the next 10 minutes. We needed that third round. So I'm going to go with whoever the waiter was. That said, otherwise, the Stirling Albion hospitality was spot on.
There we go. Right, there you go then. Okay, then we'll give it to Acumen then. Right, okay, that's your Falkirk Dafty for this week. And thank you to, you know, being graced by his presence. It's been an honour to be in one of, you know, Falkirk's leading scorers in Europe, to have him on the podcast, Mr. Andrew White. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad we finally convinced you to come on, Andy.
He's been trying to get me for a long time. It's taken a lot of convincing, but there you go.
I take it you agreed to do this when Ross was pissed last night and said, come on, Andy, come on. And you'd had a few jars as well, because I know what you're like as well, Mr. White.
No, actually, that's the surprising thing. This was all arranged today, so I can't even... nobody can blame the alcohol. By the time it was decided.
Fair enough, mate. Well, listen, thanks for coming on. And if you want to be a guest pundit just like Andy has this week, we'd love to have you on. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can pop an email to us, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
So, one Stirlingshire team out of the way, another Stirlingshire team approaches us as Alloa Athletic visit the stadium. Will they once again try to bring down the steeple as we saw the last time, or will it be, they'll just kind of meekly turn up at the stadium this time? Certainly the last time we gave them a good going over, Ross, and on that televised game on the BBC.
We did, and if I'm being honest, I think we will again. They're obviously struggling.
Ricey's been under a bit of pressure there, I think. I mean, looking at the last five games, two losses, two draws, and they got a win against Kelty yesterday.
I think he probably is under a bit of pressure, which is a shame. I've got a lot of time for Ricey. They've not been good enough this season. As you've said, they've got like a 50% loss rate this season so far. So, what is it, 5 points at the last 15? It's not great. So they will be desperate to get themselves up and out, up and above the league. But where are they just now? Seventh, eighth, or something like that? They're obviously quite off the pace. What are they already? 15?
Yeah, seventh. I mean, you look behind us, though. I mean, they're only 3 points off making the playoff spots. Yesterday, I guess, it was a big result against Kelty for them, who are, they're now 3 points off Kelty for that fourth place, you know, and they're only 4 points off them in Trows in third. You know, when you put it, evaluate it like that, you think, actually, a couple of wins and they're straight back into those playoff places, and they'll certainly be looking to try and come to the stadium and start that with us.
I'm sure they will. Yeah, I'm sure they will. They've not... I think the scoreline last time probably didn't flatter us. We were well worthy.
Ricey went mental afterwards. Remember, yeah. We played out his interview on the podcast and he was going mental about it.
That's right, because he was talking about how
Warriors! We need Warriors!
We need to turn up the next game week. I think they were playing Cove or something like that. But listen, they've got players on their side who know where the goals are.
We can guarantee Connor Salmon will score one.
Well, did he last time? I can't remember. Did he get the...
No, didn't. He did, no.
But, he'll be trying like a bear. But I will stick by what I've been saying quite consistently. We are a different animal this year. And I think we have more than enough to take care of Alloa. Hopefully we do. It needs to be a win. We need to be winning every single home game.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of the away games. So, it needs to be 3 points in the bag.
Yeah, I know our player will probably be trying like a bear as well. Stevie Hetherington, who's obviously went back to Alloa as well now. So, he'll be...
Well, it's first time he's tried like a bear, if that happens.
You know, they've got Bradley Roden there, who's scored a good few goals for them, 4 goals. Yeah, I mean, I'll have it's been a kind of topsy-turvy season. You know, like you say, we went there the last time and, you know, for the game, and we gave them, I mean, we that's probably been our most comfortable game of the season, I think, when we played Alloa away. When looking back on it, we just didn't look like we were getting touched in that game.
Yeah, probably that game and the Celtic game were probably the two most comfortable, both on TV, which is obviously an aside. But really comfortable game. We'll need to be at it because the last few weeks, just as Andy had said during the review of Stirling.
Not against Hamilton, we weren't great, you know. We got the result against Queen's Park. We were okay actually against Queen's Park, but that was a different.
Oh, we did okay against Queen's Park. Yeah.
But again, that's an entirely different team that went out against that. You know.
Absolutely, and obviously yesterday we made heavy weather of it at times. But yeah. I think we've got enough in us. I genuinely do. I think Alloa. Yeah, right. Alloa probably be in the top four spaces. Come the end
season.
Of the season.
Yeah,
but they're very close to. Currently, they're very close to the bottom as well. Like you're saying, a couple of wins sees them hit the playoffs, but they could quite easily be in the playoffs at the other end of the.
Well, I mean, when you look at Annan, they're only 8 points. They're only 3 points off Alloa. I mean, looking, but aside from us and Hamilton, you know, look down that table, it is really, really tight. You know, it's you know, because we've taken so many points off these teams. It's really tight down there. A resident stat, Mr. Donald Johnson's been in touch. Thank you, as ever, Donald. Said Al at home next. Since moving to the Falkirk Stadium, we've played Al 12 times, winning 6, drawing 3, and losing 3, giving us a 66% record. The largest attendance at these 12 games is 4,170, which was in April 2019. So we should beat that on Saturday. Our overall home record against Al, however, is even better. Played some 67 times, winning 42, drawing 15, and losing only 10. It gives us a 74% record. Our average, George will start giving us the attendance stats now as well. Our average home league attendance so far this season is 4,350, with an average away support of 172 at the stadium. So, yeah, I think we'll beat that.
I think there'll be more than that on Saturday again. It's the start of the two-thirds season tickets that the club launched a couple of weeks back. It's the first game that's covered with that. They're sold out hospitality. It's the Bairns Business Club. Hospitality.
You, of course, will be in hospitality again this week, Ross.
Well, so it's the Bairns
Business Club. Again, hospitality or not?
I'm in hospitality.
Yeah, you are. Aye. There's a shock.
But yeah, no, it's the Bairns Business Club day and it's sold out hospitality. The Brockville Lounge is bursting at the seams. The regular hospitality that would normally be in the Brockville Lounge is spread out across some of the other lounges. So, you know, it could be 4,500 heading towards 5,000 on Saturday, John.
I'll be okay. They usually are okay in terms
of bring a few hundred through, I would think, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just the proximity of it as well. And the thing is about this Saturday as well is we can really keep the pressure on Hamilton. They're away to Montrose, right? Which we all know is a really, really tough place to go. So we can really keep the pressure on Hamilton by getting 3 points because they don't kick off till 5:30. They're on the telly at 5:30.
Was that an Alba?
Yeah.
Saturday, so, is it right? Okay.
If we walk away with 3 points, they immediately find themselves 5 points behind with a really tough opponent in the Montrose to face up there. Certainly, you know, dropping points there the weekend, you don't know how that's going to affect the players. And going up to Montrose is going to be a difficult, difficult ground to go to. So, we'll see how it goes. But, you know, like you say, 3 points and a home one is essential, Ross. What are you going for?
I'm going to go 3-0 Bairns. What are you thinking?
3-0 Bairns. You know, Bairns. I think they'll get a goal. So I'm going to take another 2, maybe 3-1. I'll go 3. I'll take a 3-1. I think Ross McKeever will be itching to score against them as well.
He'll be itching
to score against them. So we'll take 3-1. I'm interested to see what kind of if he makes any changes. I think Miller will come into the side for argument. I think Ethan Ross might come in for Gary Oliver. That's the two changes I would certainly look at. I thought Ethan Ross did really well when he came on. And I think, Miller, I think you know, Aguiman, I think, is an impact player off the bench would be really interesting. But whether he then thinks, well, they've got Connor Salmon, they're a big physical team, or Brian Rice set them up that way, does he just keep the strength and the attributes that Aguiman brings to the team in there? I think Gary Ott, and then maybe then he goes, right, I'll play Calvin Miller in the 10, and for Gary Oliver, and keeps Aguiman in just because of his physicality.
I know we've said it before, John, but I would quite like to see Alfie in the number 10 position. I think he'd do an awful lot of damage in that central role. We know he's a strong lad. Defenders bounce off the guy. Yeah. And I could see him doing really well in that role. The other thing that might help Alfie get a start next Saturday is if Callum Morrison is maybe not
100%. Yeah, that's very true as well. You think, I think Olap did enough. Obviously, he was probably a lot of people's man of the match against Queen's Park as well. So you think he's maybe done enough to come in for Callum Morrison. Be interesting to see what happens. Well, obviously, we'll hear across the week, but I think Gary Oliver, I got a funny feeling he'll be dropped out. I've got a funny feeling they'll just because of his physicality, they'll keep Aguiman in there, and they'll maybe put Calvin Miller into that 10 role. Who knows? We'll wait and see. But anyway, it's happening at the stadium this Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff. We'll see you down there.
This is Falkirk Daft
with Haldane Construction Services.
And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for coming out of hospitality for once to be involved in this podcast. I'll make sure your golden microphone's sorted for next week, Ross.
A golden microphone, that would
I mean, obviously, that's the kind of, you know, that's how you roll these days.
That would be cool. But no, it's, and like, listen, I had to defend myself earlier on Twitter today when someone said, are you a corporate hooligan? And I said, listen, I'm in a hospitality a few times.
Make excuses for yourself, Ross. You live by a certain lifestyle. You're accustomed to it now. You don't have to make excuses for, you know, us plebs down here, De Ross. It's fine. You know, I've heard you started voting Tory and everything.
Oh, whoa.
I knew. Dig at that.
I'm not a Stirling Albion fan, you know that. But no, they're all kind of at the one month. There's a few things on the go. But listen, I'll be back in my usual seat very, very shortly. In fact, for the Dundee United game, the plan is that I'll be I'm heading over to the Kevin McAllister stand that day. I've already spoke to a few of the usual suspects over there, so I'll be going back to my roots behind there for that Dundee United game.
Oh, you might get a shot on the drum, Ross, if you play your cards well.
Well, I'm more of a singer, John, you know that.
But they might give you a shot on the drum, you never know. If the ultras are listening, get Ross on the drum. I'd love to hear that. I don't know what his rhythm's like right now. I don't know.
I don't think it's good. No, I'll leave it to the professionals. So I'll leave that.
Before we go as well, Rob Fleming, big supporter of the club, met Rab actually at the cricket. Here's me slagging you off. I met Rab at the cricket a couple of weeks ago when I was down
the Tory.
I know. By the way, you feel free to support the Tory party if you want. You know, we're not
absolutely.
Slagging
you off of that. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
But he got in touch with me. It's a really interesting thing that he talks about. He says it's over 2 years away, right? So it's a wee while away now. But in 2023, both Stensmuir Cricket Club and Falkirk FC celebrate their 150th anniversary. Back in 1976, a challenge cricket match was played between both teams in celebration. It was a 14-year-old junior cricketer with Stensmuir, and the Bairns were a player short. So Bairns captain George Miller and Donald Ford's daughter say, I can play for Falkirk, I bite his cricket. I don't know what Rab's going on about here. Anyway, at the same time, we turn 150, Stensmuir Cricket Club turn 150, and this was done in 1976. He's suggesting maybe this could be a Falkirk fans 11 versus a Stensmuir social 11. What do you think in 2026? Rab's going to say he's up for getting the captain of the cricket club involved. Could be a good Sunday baby session. I'm up for this. I've never played cricket in my life, but you know, why not? I'm up for that.
I'm not sure about playing the cricket part, but I'll come along and back you.
Oh, come on, get involved. Big Jamie, who's in Texas as well, who we spoke about in this podcast as well, he is up for coming back for it as well. So there we go. 2026, Falkirk's Fan 11 versus Stenny. I think we've got plenty of time to plan it. So it was like, Rab was like, give me a call today. I'm like, Rab, it's all right, pal. It's just, A good few years away, mate. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. But yeah, that sounds like a great idea, obviously, when we celebrate our 150th anniversary, which we're hoping we'll be back in the Premier League for as well, fingers crossed. Anyway, that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Get us, rate us, review us, Apple, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this, or maybe you're watching it on YouTube. Hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell as well to see when the videos go up. We normally aim for them getting up on a kind of Monday evening. If not, if I manage to squeeze it in amongst the other 100 podcasts and radio shows or two, we'll see if we get up earlier in Monday morning. But hey, thank you very much for joining us. Another one for the Bairns. And a stat that I heard the boys saying on Falkirk TV, that's the first time that Stirling have been beaten in 11 months at their own patch, so that is a good sign. And obviously we are unbeaten in 13 games now as well, which is unbelievable stuff. So brilliant to hear. All competitions, let's keep it going against Awa this Saturday. Get merch, get Falkirk Daft merch. You'll be the talk of Falkirk Town by getting it now. merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. You can look really cool at the matches. I still would spot anything at the matches, so please wear your Falkirk Daft cobber if you're going to the matches, just so we can see you in it. Yeah, I get involved in that. I'd love to see hoodies and t-shirts, and there's a whole load of stuff that you can get up at Falkirk Daft merch. So merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk, and get involved in our Discord channel. What's Falkirk Chat in there? All the details are below for that. It's like Discord, it's just an app that you can download, and it's just like a kind of chat room like Pine Mall, but completely and utterly Falkirk bias, which we love to see. What a nice little community in there. And again, thanks to Haldane Construction, quality and loyalty is at the heart of their business. I think that's everything tucked away. Ross, getting ready for another weekend in hospitality. Yeah, looking forward to it.
I'm never going to live this down.
Oh, you're never going to live this. So, after Awa, when's the next time you're in hospitality?
Well, no, listen, don't start because you're in that one.
All right, sorry, I better just pull back because I've
been on
a few weeks' time as well. But aye, that's it. Thanks very much for listening to Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate each and every one of you. That, you know, this obviously started off as just a laugh for me and Ross, and everyone that listens to it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you on the next one, hopefully talking about another 3 points for the Bairns. But we will leave you with this phrase:
expect unexpected, buddy. Falkirk Football Club since 1876.
Prawn sandwiches.